堂听 class.com。
Model Test 4, Section A, Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Number 11. I was late twice this month.
I was late 3 times that often, and Tony was late 7 times.
Question. How often was the woman late? Number 12. How much did the skirt cost?
The price on the tag was 380 yuan, but I managed to get a 50% discount.
Question. What can we conclude from the conversation? Number 13. I can hardly believe the city has a population of 800,000.
To be more exact, there are 813,400 people there.
Question. What is the population of that city?
Number 14. When should I hand in my term paper, sir?
Since it must be a typewritten one with 20 pages, you can hand it in next month.
Question. What is the probable relationship between the two speakers? Number 15. I'd like to buy a copy of Professor Franklin's book on seashells.
I'm sorry, miss. That book has been out of print for some time now.
Question. What does the man say about the book? Number 16. I think I will take the half-day tour of the city.
Why not the whole day?
Question. What does the man suggest?
Number 17. Darling, here is a very good movie to be shown at Grand Theater. Shall we go and see it tomorrow evening?
I know it's very interesting, but I am afraid we can't. Do you still remember that your uncle is coming tomorrow afternoon, and we need to meet him at the airport?
Question. What will the two speakers most probably do tomorrow afternoon?
Number 18. Airports are sad places.
Sometimes, I guess. But we'll keep in touch, and I'll fly over to see you at Christmas.
Question. What are the speakers doing? Now, you'll hear two long conversations. Conversation 1.
Miss Williams, I'd be grateful if you could just tell me a bit about yourself. How have you been swimming long?
No, not long at all. I started originally to get fit again after my youngest child was born, and I didn't take it seriously at first. I only started practicing properly when I realized how much I was enjoying it.
So when did you start taking it seriously?
I suppose I started taking it seriously about 3 years ago. I joined the swimming club then, which really made me work at it.
And now, how often do you practice?
Every day, but I can't go at a regular time, as I have to make arrangements for the children to be looked after.
And what does your husband think about it?
Oh, he thinks it's marvelous. He's pleased that I've got something more interesting to think about than housework. And he's proud of me for getting into the country team and winning prizes.
And how many prizes have you won?
2, as far, both years. One was an individual medal, and the other was team cup.
Well, I hope there'll be more today. Thank you very much, Miss Williams.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Number 19. When did the woman start practicing seriously?
Number 20. Why can't the woman practice every day at a regular time?
Number 21. How does the woman's husband feel about her?
Number 22. What prizes have the woman won?
Conversation 2. Carl, what's it like now? You have been training pretty hard for the Olympics and other major competitions for many years.
Well, right now, this is my last season. Of course, I'm staying in shape to do that, but I'm going to stay in shape. I mean, I've always been fit, so that's something I'm interested in doing.
You don't want to sit down and have a double cheeseburger? Come on, Carl.
No. That's just because I've always tried to stay in shape, and I like that. It's obviously healthy for me as well.
Is there anything in the back of your mind that wants you to take part in the Olympic Games again? How old are you now, Carl?
I'm 35, and no, there's nothing in the back of my mind. I've gone long enough, and now it's time, I think. For me, it's more. I've had an incredible career from my perspective, and it's been a lot of fun. But you can't. You can take really two choices. You can run until they won't let you in meets anymore, or you can just say this is enough. I decided on the second.
Good for you. You certainly would be in that competition for greatest Olympian ever with the 9 gold medals. Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Number 23. Why does Carl avoid a double cheeseburger?
Number 24. What does Carl think about taking part in the Olympic Games?
Number 25. What is not true of Carl? Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Bows and arrows are one of man's oldest weapons. They gave early man an effective weapon to kill his enemies. The ordinary bow, or short bow, was used by nearly all early people. The bow had limited power and a short range. However, man overcame these faults by learning to track his target at close range. The longbow was most likely discovered when someone found out that a 5-foot piece of wood made a better bow than a 3-foot piece. Hundreds of thousands of these bows were made and used for 300 years. However, no one is known to survive today. We believe that a force of about 100 pounds was needed to pull the string all the way back on the longbow. For a long time, the bow was just a bent stick and a string. In fact, more change has taken place in a bow in the past 25 years than in the last 7 centuries. Today's bow is more forceful. It is exact as a gun. In addition, it requires little strength to draw the string. Modern bows also have precise aiming devices. In indoor contests, perfect scores from 40 yards are common. The invention of the bow itself ranks with the discovery of fire and of the wheel. It was a great step forward for man.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you've just heard. Number 26. Why did man have to track his target at close range when using a short bow?
Number 27. What does the passage tell us about the longbow?
Number 28. What do we know about modern bows? Passage 2. Religion and private schools receive little or no support from public taxes in the United States. As a result, they are more expensive to attend. The religious schools in America are usually run by churches. Therefore, they tend to be less expensive than private schools. When there is free education available to all children in the United States, why do people spend money on private schools? Americans offer a great variety of reasons for doing so. Some parents send their children to private schools because the classes there are usually smaller. In their opinion, the public schools in their area are not of high enough quality to meet their needs. Private schools in the United States range widely in size and quality, and they offer all kinds of programs to meet the needs of certain students. Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you've just heard.
Number 29. Why is it usually expensive to attend religious and private schools?
Number 30. What is one of the reasons for people to send their children to private schools?
Number 31. Who usually runs religious schools in the United States? Passage 3. Brenda Linson never goes anywhere without an empty spectacles case. It is as vital to her as her purse. Yet, she doesn't wear glasses. The reason she can't do without it is that she can't read and she can't write. If ever she gets into any situation where she might be expected to do either of these things, she fishes around in her bag for the spectacles case, finds it's empty, and asks the person concerned to do the reading for her. Until a few months ago, hardly anybody knew about her problem. Her husband didn't know, and her children didn't know. The children still don't. She had any number of tactics for hiding her difficulty. For example, never lingering near a phone at work, in case she had to answer it and might be required to write something down. It has never occurred to the children that their mother cannot read. She doesn't read them stories, but then their father doesn't either. So they find nothing surprising in that fact. Similarly, they just accept that Dad is the one who writes the sick notes and reads the school reports. Now that the older boy Tom is quite a proficient reader, Brenda can skillfully get him to read any notes brought home from school simply by asking, "What's that all about, then?" Brenda's husband never guessed the truth in 10 years of marriage. For one thing, he insists on handling all domestic correspondence and bills himself. A salesman for a large company, he travels a great deal and so is not around so much to spot the truth. While he's away, Brenda copes with any situation by explaining that she can't do anything until she's discussed it with her husband. Brenda was very successful in her job until recently. For the last 5 years, she had worked as a waitress in an expensive restaurant and had eventually been promoted to head waitress. She kept the thing a secret there, too, and got over the practical difficulties somehow.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you've just heard. Number 32. Why does Brenda Linson carry an empty spectacles case?
Number 33. Why doesn't she linger around a phone at work?
Number 34. While her husband is away, why does Brenda say that she can't do anything until her husband comes back?
Number 35. Why have Brenda's children never found out about her problem?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Any mistake made in the printing of a stamp raises its value to stamp collectors. A mistake made on a two-penny stamp has made it worth 1.5 million times its face value. Do you think it impossible? Well, it is true, and this is how it happened. The mistake was made more than 100 years ago in the former British colony of Mauritius, a small island in the Indian Ocean. In 1847, an order for stamps was sent to London. Mauritius was about to become the fourth country in the world to put out stamps. Before the order was filled and the stamps arrived from England, a big dance was planned by the commander-in-chief of all the armed forces on the island. The dance would be held in his house, and letters of invitation would be sent to all the important people in Mauritius. Stamps were badly needed to post the letters. Therefore, an islander, who was a good printer, was told to copy the pattern of the stamps. He carelessly put the words, "post office," instead of "post paid," two words seen on stamps at that time, on the several hundred that he printed. Today, there are only 26 of these misprinted stamps left. 14 one-penny reds and 12 two-penny blues. Because there are so few two-penny blues, and because of their age, collectors have paid as much as $16,800 for one of them.
Now this passage will be repeated.
Any mistake made in the printing of a stamp raises its value to stamp collectors. A mistake made on a two-penny stamp has made it worth 1.5 million times its face value. Do you think it impossible? Well, it is true, and this is how it happened. The mistake was made more than 100 years ago in the former British colony of Mauritius, a small island in the Indian Ocean. In 1847, an order for stamps was sent to London. Mauritius was about to become the fourth country in the world to put out stamps. Before the order was filled and the stamps arrived from England, a big dance was planned by the commander-in-chief of all the armed forces on the island. The dance would be held in his house, and letters of invitation would be sent to all the important people in Mauritius. Stamps were badly needed to post the letters. Therefore, an islander, who was a good printer, was told to copy the pattern of the stamps. He carelessly put the words, "post office," instead of "post paid," two words seen on stamps at that time, on the several hundred that he printed. Today, there are only 26 of these misprinted stamps left, 14 one-penny reds and 12 two-penny blues. Because there are so few two-penny blues, and because of their age, collectors have paid as much as $16,800 for one of them.
Now this passage will be repeated again.
Any mistake made in the printing of a stamp raises its value to stamp collectors. A mistake made on a two-penny stamp has made it worth 1.5 million times its face value. Do you think it impossible? Well, it is true, and this is how it happened. The mistake was made more than 100 years ago in the former British colony of Mauritius, a small island in the Indian Ocean. In 1847, an order for stamps was sent to London. Mauritius was about to become the fourth country in the world to put out stamps. Before the order was filled and the stamps arrived from England, a big dance was planned by the commander-in-chief of all the armed forces on the island. The dance would be held in his house, and letters of invitation would be sent to all the important people in Mauritius. Stamps were badly needed to post the letters. Therefore, an islander, who was a good printer, was told to copy the pattern of the stamps. He carelessly put the words, "Post Office," instead of "post paid," two words seen on stamps at that time, on the several hundred that he printed. Today, there are only 26 of these misprinted stamps left, 14 one-penny reds and 12 two-penny blues. Because there are so few two-penny blues, and because of their age, collectors have paid as much as $16,800 for one of them.